We also want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be in the house of God. I appreciated the devotional this morning and the songs. As Brother Henry was reading that song, the first song that we sang, thoughts were going through my mind this morning that definitely ties in with the message today of being holy, committed to God. I chose to speak out of 2 Chronicles, a couple of chapters there. Can anyone tell me who the king was that had bad feet? Did anyone tell me? Elmer? Asa. King Asa, yes, thank you. He got diseased feet, and it sort of appears like he probably died because of his diseased feet. But I just wanted to go across King Asa's life a little bit. And when it comes to judging the overall value of a man's life, which is more important, the way he begins or the way he ends? If we say the way he begins, what about people that start out very good and then really lose out before it's over? Like King Saul. King Saul was one that started out very well, but ended up very badly. And if we say, you know, the way he ends, what about somebody that deliberately wastes his life away and then comes to the Lord in the last hours, months, minutes? Someone just told me, I think it was just yesterday, someone told me of a man that was just living his life. He was actually, his son also followed in his footsteps quite a bit, I think. But anyhow, his son ended up having a stroke, the same age as his dad did, so he was quite the same. But he said he visited with him and actually took him to the hospital one time. This is the dad in his life, and he was just quite a character. But somehow at the last days, within just the last few days of his life, he made a big change in his life, and he accepted Jesus Christ in his heart, and he ended strongly. So I think it's probably more the way we end than the way we begin. But if we could have a good beginning and a good ending, that is what God really wants. Okay, and Asa, king of Judah, he was the third king after the nation split in two. We know the first two kings were not good kings. And he was the first good king of that era. And he's even mentioned in the, if we read in Matthew, he's even mentioned in the genealogy there of Jesus. And also 1 Kings 15, verse 4, contains the words, Nevertheless, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Israel. And I think he's, by sending his son after him, he's referring to his son, his posterity. So we could sort of summarize his life in a few statements. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He followed in the path of David. He removed idolatry from the land, made a treaty with Syria to remove a threat from Israel. He did not seek the Lord when his feet became diseased, and he died and was buried with his fathers. It's pretty good life, actually. I mean, it's not perfect by a long shot, but it's a pretty good life, really. So as we go through this, I'd sort of like to look at maybe there's several tests that we could look at. Maybe there's five tests of Asa's life. And we'll start reading there in chapter 14, verses 2 through 8, the test of idolatry. So let's just read that. And Asa did that which was right, good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he took away the altars of the strange gods in the high places and brake down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. And he also took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest in every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears, out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. He passed the test of getting rid of idolatry. He cleaned house. He tore down the idols and led a revival in religion. He says there that he commanded his people to seek the Lord, commanded Judah to seek the Lord, their God, leading a revival. He built up the land. He fortified it, built cities, built army, and gave all the credit to God. It's because of what the Lord had done for them. And it's now for us, it's good to get our convictions settled, to make our life count early on, to influence others for good while we are young. Asa got it into habit of doing good no matter what the cost. I think that's a lesson that we can get from that. So on that test, Asa passed the test. Test number two, invasion from the south. And that goes on here in the 14th chapter, verses 9 through 15, to the end there. And there came out against Zerah, out against them, Zerah the Ethiopian, with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Mareshah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatha at Mareshah. And Asa called unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa said, Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gera. And Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his hosts, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gera, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. Here, the invasion of the south, and I think Asa passed the test there too. He called upon the name of the Lord. And I tried to imagine myself in that situation. I mean, Asa had a 500,000 men, but the Ethiopians were 1,000,000. And I think if I did my math correctly, that's 1,000,000. So that's almost double what Asa had to face. And I've never seen a crowd of a million people, let alone set up in battle array. That would be very intimidating. But Asa did that which was right. He called upon the Lord. And the Lord fought his battle for him. On the surface, he didn't stand a chance. With great prayer, he was able to call upon the name of the Lord. He refers to God 10 times in his prayer here, and only 3 times to the people. He is pleading with God to come to their assistance there. Asa turned to God for seemingly impossible, and it happened. Asa was poor in spirit. This kind of faith always defeats the Ethiopians. So how many times a day or how many days in our life do we face the Ethiopians? The almost insurmountable odds against us. But if we call upon the name of the Lord, then we can win the battle. All right, test number 3. Going into chapter 15, the Reformation and Revival. Let's just read this chapter. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And the nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them all with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. This was some encouragement that Oded was bringing to Asa there. The word of the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And verse 8, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of all the cities and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. He gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell on him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. I think this is another example of people observing our lives and seeing whether God is with us or not. And they are drawn to that. When we're really truly following after God, they are drawn to have what we have, that relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse 10, so they gathered themselves together in Jerusalem on the 3rd month of the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever should not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and cornets. And all of Israel rejoiced in the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. They had a real revival there to come unto the Lord and put everything they had, their whole desire. It says they sought him with their whole desire. Where is our desire divided. It's a challenge. I'm sure they had challenges back then too, but we have plenty these days that divide us and want us to seek after other things. But God wants our whole heart to seek after. And going on, he was still working with trying to get rid of things. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa. There again, the test of reformation and revival, he passed that test also. This one was not necessarily that hard because Asa just did what he just continued doing what he had been doing already. All he had to do was keep on keeping on. But how hard that seems sometimes. We go through a serious period of testing with much prayer. Sometimes it feels like we're not winning. Finally, victory comes and we relax. But Asa learned this lesson well. Victory is maintained the same way it is won. When we win a victory, then we don't relax. We need to continue on doing what we had been doing. We need to continue vigilance. If fellowship, Bible study, prayer, and witnessing have brought you a great blessing, then don't stop now. Continue that. You will continue to be drawn closer to God. Keep it up. For Asa, it included removing a family member, even. He had to do what he had to do to continue to have this, to get rid of all the idols, even if it was the queen. It still had to go because Asa was dedicated wholly to serving God. Even though it's difficult to maintain God's blessing on your life, it can be done. And the secret is that Asa's life, his heart was blameless, not perfect, but wholly open unto God. I think that's what God wants of us. He wants us to be perfect, he says, as he is perfect. But he also understands that we are human. And we don't always do the right thing. We are not perfect. We don't always do the right thing. But if he looks at our heart and he sees that our heart is bent towards him to always do, I think he understands. I think that's what God really wants of us. Okay, test number 4. Now there's the invasion from the north. And this is in chapter 16, verses 1 through 10. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, the king of Judah. And when Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasure of the house of the Lord of the king's house and the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go and break the league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto the king Asa, and sent the captain of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ijon and Dan and Abelamaim, and all the stores of this, all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. Then the king Asa took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. And at that time, the seer came to Asa, the king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, and very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them out of thy hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. I think Asa failed the test this time. This occasion, Asa took a quick and easy route. And it worked out. It got rid of King Syria from Syria. It took the pressure off of him. But in turning to God, trusting in God, in a military alliance would have done much more for him. Disobedience works sometimes, but it does not pay off in the long run. Asa made his choice based on the circumstances and failed to trust the Lord. But God wants to fight our battles for us. He was reminded here, Hanani told him, you know, we're not the Ethiopians. He told him just a few years before that, you were faced by all these, a million of these Ethiopians and all the chariots and stuff, and God delivered you out of their hand. Did you already forget that? Why did you not call on the Lord? But God wants to fight our battles for us. We can either run to Syria, or we can trust in God who made the Syrians. It's our choice. Asa's alliance with Syria was an act of spiritual compromise, a terrible step away from the Lord. It says there, Hanani told him there in verse 7, he says, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord God. It's a choice that he had made. That is why things went wrong. So when we make decisions based on external circumstances rather than on the word of God, when we walk by sight and not by faith, things will go wrong. Trouble is just around the corner if we walk by sight. Somehow he forgot, Asa forgot the good example that he already had learned earlier. Was Asa's heart wholly God's? Earlier that commandment had been given and everyone was totally serving God. But it seems like here he failed out on that. God wants to fight the battles for us. We can either run to Syria or we can trust God. It's our choice. All right, test number 5. And there we come to the bad feet. There again, I think he failed. Verse 11 through 14 there. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they were written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in 41st year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odors and divers kinds of spices prepared by the apothecaries' art, and they made very great burning for him. It says here that when he got his diseased feet, he just turned to the doctors. He wanted the doctors to take care of this instead of turning to God and asking God to take care of this. God is concerned about all of our little details in our life. And having sore feet is definitely painful. We were up there at the Haiti benefit auction Friday afternoon and Saturday, and all day walking around helping with the food there and stuff, and walking on that blacktop all day long. By evening, my feet were pretty sore. It was sort of painful just to walk, but God even wants to know about that. He gives us strength to continue on, even if, you know, we're doing what he wants us to do. But poor Asa, his feet got diseased, and he went running to the doctors, which was a bad move. This is just like the battle with Syria. Nothing at all wrong with doctors. I mean, we don't want to put that out, because doctors definitely have their place, and we need to go to doctors at times. But I think God wants to see what is within our heart. Because Asa trusted in the doctors instead of the Lord. And even sometimes if we approach things wrong, sometimes God would even heal on something like that for his reasons, but it would not be what God really wants. Who will get the credit for the healing in your life? Apparently it never even occurred to Asa to seek the Lord, but God remembered the slight and put it in the book. Says here that they were written in the book. The acts of Asa were written in the book. But in this test about the feet, I think this is another test that he failed in. God wants us to trust him fully, to be wholly his in every area of life. It is nothing more to God to defeat the Syrians than to heal our big toe. God can do any of that. In fact, if we look earlier in Asa's prayer there, he said, there is nothing for you to defeat the multitude or to deal with people that have no power. That is nothing for God. The point is, God wants us to trust him in every area of our life, whether it is big or small. So in looking at Asa's life, in 2 Chronicles 15:17 there, he says that Asa had a heart, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. But he also says he had a blameless heart, and God looked at his heart and saw the devoted man who honestly meant to trust the Lord. Did he do it perfectly? No, he didn't do it perfectly, because right here it says, for the high places were not taken out of Israel. But it says, nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect all his days. He failed to be thorough in his crusade against sin, and it stuck around to plague the Jews for generations to come. He was not totally thorough in taking care of that. And also in Then going to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 31 and 2. Thinking of our posterity, those that come after us, our children, what are we teaching them? There it tells us about his son Jehoshaphat. Verse 31, and Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah, and he was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. And he walked in the way of Asa his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That is a great blessing when children follow on after the parents' example, when they follow the Lord. Jehoshaphat was also very much like his dad. He was sort of weak in making alliances and not trusting God completely. It's very much the same as what Asa did there. But he walked as his father had walked and done right in the sight of the Lord. There was nothing better that can be said about a man than his children to follow after him and do right in the sight of the Lord. That is a very high compliment. Then in a quick review here in 5 points of Asa's life. When God evaluates a person, he looks at the overall direction of his life. I think sometimes we can get derailed with small things in our life. Yes, it's little foxes that, what is that? Anyhow, pardon? That destroy the vineyard. There you go. Thank you. So it's little things in our life that do cause trouble. But if we focus on the small things of life, then we can get derailed. I think God wants to see our life that is holy after him, our overall direction. We do make mistakes as we go on through life. Though Asa had at times failed miserably, down deep in it, he had a heart for God. And that is why he is remembered as one of Judah's good kings. And number two, as we grow older, our early success may cause us to become self-reliant instead of God-reliant. Let's not let that happen. Let's continue on keeping on. I think that's what happened in Asa's life. And it can happen to us spiritually too if we become spiritually complacent. And number three, the smallest seeds of spiritual compromise may lead to a bitter harvest for us and for those that we love. Asa did a lot of things right, but he didn't pull down all the high places. This would lead to further trouble in Judah in the years following his death. So today's compromise may lead to tomorrow's defeat and to a disaster day after tomorrow. So let's not let small seeds, let's not do any compromise at all. And number four, a good beginning does not guarantee a good ending. We have to continue on doing the right things. Asa started well by ridding Judah of most of the high places, but near the end of his life, he did not seek the Lord about his diseased feet. So in spite of all the good things he accomplished, he did not end on a triumphant note with his faith in God. Number five, God is still looking for men and women whose heart is fully committed to him. Here's a challenge for each of us today from Asa's life. Another translation, chapter 16, verse 9, says, "For the eyes of the Lord range through the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." That is what God is looking for. Those that are fully committed to him, God is looking for those to strengthen us. The challenge given to D.L. Moody still stands today. Who knows what God can accomplish through a heart and life that is fully given to him. It's much more than any of us could possibly imagine. If we could just be totally sold out for God, wholly committed to following after God. That's a challenge that I got from Asa's life, to truly be what God wants us to be available to him, whatever he has for us, and he will fight our battles for us. Let us kneel to pray.